Welcome into All Pro Lines, the podcast. I'm your host, Kostaki Economopoulos, just back from Detroit City. The NFL had their annual draft. The draft has been held annually since 1936, like Jimmy Carter's penis. You know this joke. It's tradition. We do it every year. We might have to put a new person in there at some point, but for now, it's still Jimmy Carter. Thanks for being here. Lots to talk about. My boy, Glenn Grizzard, is with us today. We'll talk some Falcons football, some other things, and some draft stuff. We'll do a little quiz with him. Andreas and I went to the draft, and it was so great. It's so cool. First of all, people talk about Detroit like it's fucking Beirut for whatever reason. Detroit's great. It's got so much personality. The architecture, that's a city that's been there for a long time, man. They've got the Motown history, and they're big fat. They're crazy sports fans. The Tigers were playing when we were there. It was presumably the record turnout for the draft. I don't know how they measure this sort of thing, but it was a big-ass pile of people, and most of them were wearing Honolulu blue. Is there anything less Honolulu than Detroit? I don't know, but that's the color they chose for themselves, and the Lions fans were out in full force. They were into it. It was fun. People running around, drinking and rooting for their nerdy teams. And of course, Andreas and I were wearing Falcons hats and shirts. And so everywhere we went, the other fans stopped us to ask us how we felt about drafting Michael Penix number 8 overall after we spent at least $100 million on Kirk Cousins. He's already old. He's got serious injuries history. And now maybe we hope he doesn't play for 3 years, 2, 4. Man, it's a good question. I don't know what they were doing. It's a very bold choice the Falcons made. And lots of other fun stuff happened. And we met so many interesting characters. And that's what's so cool about the draft. If you've never been to the draft, do yourself a favor. Just pick a year and go. If you're listening to this, you're a football nerd like me. There's no ticket. Your team can't lose. It's 800,000 people who love football, and they gather in this one area. Everyone's wearing their shirts, and they're hopeful for a thing, and they think they know what they're rooting for, and they talk to the other fans about what they're rooting for and the way the thing falls. And people have college players that they're rooting to see where they land, and everyone's got a team that they're trying to build, and everyone has hope, and nobody's upset about anything, and everyone's generous and gregarious and kind and funny, and it's just so fun. It's so fun. Next year's Lambo, and I'm going to try to go to that, and I've been the last 3 years, and it's been a pleasure. It's a nice little island of football news in the middle of the desert of the offseason. So there's sort of a slow buildup to the draft after the Super Bowl. And then after the draft, it tips the scales into this sort of, we're not that far away from the teams getting it all together in training camps and that cycle of news coming out. So it's a fun time of year for me. I love it. I love Andreas. As a side note, I don't want to get too deep on this, but I had 1 hour in the weekend where I was exhausted and I was drunk. And I was losing at poker, and I was a total jackass. And I really put a dent in the weekend, at least for me. And Andreas was great and cool about it. And I shifted gears and apologized profusely. And we ended up having a big, good talk about some big life stuff, and it was good for me. So thanks, bro, for that. And I realize I've got some stuff, you know, like most of my life is quite good. I'm blessed, and I've worked hard, and I've been lucky, and I've made some decisions, and some of my decisions have been very bad. Some of them have been very good. That's how life is. But I think there's a little well of worry and sadness and anger way down inside of me, and it sometimes bursts out in my being rude to the people around me. So I'm going to actively work on that. I've already started making some lists about things I'm going to do to make some shifts, and went for a long bike ride today. I went to the gym. I'm going to try to really use this as a point for improving my world and being a better human out there. So again, sorry, bro, and thank you, bro. And if you're struggling with a thing, you're not alone, whatever that thing is. Mine's, you know, And the, on the scale of things, it's not even a big thing, but it can feel big to you, whatever your thing is. And whatever it is, you ain't alone. It's okay to not nail it sometimes and work on yourself and whatever you're doing. All right, let's do some jokes.
The 2-minute drill.
Wait, did a team from the South just fuck their cousins? Is that what happened this week at the draft? The Falcons might have had the most unpopular draft since Vietnam. They shocked the world with their questionable decision making. No, they shocked everyone but their fans. That's what happened. The Falcons shocked everyone taking Michael Penix. It's just such a weird choice. And I've listened to all the things and I've taken it in and I'm accepting it and I understand the looking for the long. I blame Jordan Love. The Jordan Love story appearing to work out is the reason that you can take a Penix, because it is not likely to help this year. And I'm tired of waiting for winning. We got all the pieces. Let's win now. But I get it. I get long run. Things are more complicated than that. And it is nice to have two guys who are at least on paper good quarterbacks on your team. So although they say if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. So it makes sense that the Falcons finally got a decent quarterback and found another way to have no quarterback. That's very Falcons of them. Penix is 24 years old. He's already had several major injuries. So he's pre-distressed, you know, like expensive jeans in the 90s. The top of this draft was like being married. No real surprises. Caleb Williams went first. It was such an obvious choice, even when the Bears couldn't get it wrong. Williams will join a proud history now of star Chicago Bear quarterbacks and includes, well, Williams will start a proud tradition of Chicago Bears star quarterbacks. Hopefully. The only thing harder to find in Chicago than a quarterback, a green vegetable. Yeah, don't eat that well up there. So that's all I'm saying. Jaden Daniels off the board second. Minnesota Vikings got their quarterback, who, if history repeats itself, will soon be a thing of the past. Wouldn't it be fun if other professions made such a big deal out of their hiring process? Now, with the 12th pick, H&R Block selects accountant Ted Palmer from Iowa State. Whee! The Chiefs failed to address their biggest draft need, a designated driver. Yeah. Jerry Jones said the Cowboys are all in on the draft. He keeps saying they're going all in on things, and then they don't go all in. He said the same thing about free agency. Nothing. They didn't draft a running back again. What? They're not going all in. You say you go all in, you don't go. Is this a Cialis commercial? What's happening? Let me just say, if you declare you're all in and the person you're talking to doesn't notice, that hurts a little. That's a shot to the ego. The Broncos have traded for Zach Wilson. Good luck. Good luck with that. If I want a broken jet, I'll call Boeing. The Bills are putting 25% of their team up for sale. Boy, I hope it's the part that sucks in the playoffs. That's beforehand. They said this draft could be set an offensive record. Offensive record. Why was Kanye announcing the picks? That could set things up to be. Does Kanye live in New York? They should send him up to Columbia. I think he'd be a good voice to help settle things down. OJ died since we last did this podcast. The good thing about OJ going to hell, he's reunited with his entire defense team. So he could start the appeal right away. Tavondre Sweat got a DWI 2 weeks ago. He was a possible first rounder. He saved $35 on the Uber. Lost $3 million on the contract. there's like a month between the combine and the draft. Just stop. Don't do anything. Just your only two jobs are don't drink and drive and don't beat up your girlfriend. Take Uber and abuse her verbally. That's all. 1 month. 6'4", 320, 362, this guy. Think how much you have to drink to get that body drunk enough for a D. Just stop it. They should do field sobriety tests in the combine. Right? You do all the three cone and the 40 and whatever. And then the last test, open bar for 4 hours. And then cops have them walk a line and they got to touch their noses and do the alphabet without singing and stuff. The Chiefs lost their bid to get public funding for stadium improvements. And Kansas City, Kansas, across the river, is already wooing them. Maybe you shouldn't be too stingy with the funding if there's a city with the same name in a different state 100 yards away. Maybe then you shell out for the funding. I don't know. Titans GM said the pursuit of Calvin Ridley started as a pipe dream. Yeah. Yeah. I imagine the dreams can come true that you have if you have $92 million to throw at them. It was a pipe dream. What's he talking about? Rashi Rice rightly catching shit about the street racing incident in Dallas. People try to give Kadarius Toney some shit, but he can't catch shit. The drivers fled the scene. You know what that means? Miles Sanders wasn't involved. He can only flee at 3.3 yards per attempt. All right. We buried the lead on the Rashi Rice story. A Corvette was racing a Lamborghini, which might be the most Corvette driver thing of all time. It turns out Rice was, he was driving the Corvette, and he leased the Lambo, and apparently his buddy was driving that. The Lambo is worth about $250,000. It rents for $1,750 a day, and he's the only one allowed to drive it. I have so many questions. Who leases a Lamborghini? Also, when you're getting a $250,000 Lamborghini, why do you pick the SUV version? Do you have to put the soccer balls in there for the coaching? Is it for your golf clubs? What are you doing? Hey, Dallas police, as long as you're investigating, see if you can find out why there are no Cowboys Super Bowl rings in the last 27 years. Maybe look into the JFK situation. All right. I didn't plan for that to be the last joke, but there you go. All right, let's do some announcements. We'll check in on the peanut gallery here. This was not announced at all. You guys are awesome to have anybody here at all. Jerry Oliver's here. What's up, man? Ewan's here. Good to see you. You're rooting for Heineke to get the Falcons starting quarterback job? I guess he's still on the roster. They got to cut him, right? You don't need more than two guys, do you? Do you have three guys? What year is it? I don't know. Jay Max says, what's your favorite poker room in Detroit? Oh, you know what? It's currently the MGM Grand. We really like that poker room. It's a beautiful space, man. I have never been there. I'd played in the other one. There's a Hollywood one in Greektown. We did go to Greektown one night and get even more drunk and join the street party and ate Greek food. And we went to that casino, which was fine. It's fine. But MGM is much nicer. I will say, probably my favorite room in the region, which we almost went to and we didn't. There's some of these little, like, there's a couple of little rooms like in the Ann Arbor area, like suburban Detroit almost, that are like in the back of a American Legion, or like the other side of a bar in this other area. Like, Michigan has these weird laws where you're allowed to run poker rooms for charity. So there's all these degenerates hanging around playing cards in the back of this thing. And there's like an old lady taking the money because it's going to charity. The house cut is for charity. It's so fascinating. Jerry Oliver says they brought Zeke back. Yeah. I picked up Zeke with my last pick in a dynasty draft a couple weeks ago because I was hoping this would happen. So and they didn't draft anybody. So he could be the RB1 for that team. It's so weird. All right. Let's do a couple announcements. We'll talk to Glenn here. Nebraska. I'm telling the jokes in Nebraska next week. I got a lot going on. I've had a little moment of crabbiness, and generally my life's good and things are all right. I did my taping for my new album. Aaron Hodges, your old friend of mine, Aaron Hodges, came out to Peoria and taped it. And of course what he did was awesome. And what I did was pretty good. So I think we got the album. I'm excited about that. I got a dry bar special coming out soon. I'm heading to Nebraska next week. Thursday night, May 9th, I'll be in McCook. And then Friday, Saturday, I'll be in North Platte. So come see me if you're in the meaty part of Nebraska, out west. And our two friends in the gambling universe are BetMGM and Underdog Fantasy. There's links to both of those on the social media platforms for all pro lines. And you guys know how affiliate programs work. Basically, when you click using our links, they give you the standing offer and they give me a small little piece of the pie, a tiny piece of the pie, as a nod to me sending them your way. And whatever their great offers are available through our link. The BetMGM one changes often, which is why I didn't have a chance to look it up today. But they bet on all the sports, not just football. So you can do that for sure in the offseason. And nobody is better at offseason football, best ball kind of fun fantasy stuff than Underdog Fantasy. So if you're into best ball, do a best ball draft now because all the fantasy dorks are doing it. The draft just happened. You can get in there, spend $5 and build a best ball team that runs in the fall. Spend $500 or anywhere in between. Highly recommend Underdog Fantasy for best ball. And BetMGM is one of the big players in all the gaming land. So these are good places to go. And they are our friends. Very strictly, I can't say some of the other words. So they are our friends. All right. Speaking of friends, there's a segue I backed into. I'm a little rusty with the podcasting. I haven't done this in a month. Our old friend, you love him, you know him. It's Glenn Grizzard, everybody.
Hello, peoples. Good to see everyone. Hey. Actually, it's just you. That's so you backed into me. I appreciate that. it's always nice talking about the Greek times.
Yeah, I thought about you in Detroit, and I told Andreas our story about almost going to the Black Strip Club.
So did you make it?
We did not. He was not high on that as an idea.
Racist.
But we did go to Pegasus to stuff our faces with that. We sat at that same bar.
Nice.
Yeah. And that right outside that bar is a very busy street filled with revelers, most of whom are black. And that street was going bananas that night. They actually blocked it off. And they had a DJ, and they had the draft on this giant screen behind the DJ, and he was coming on and making comments once in a while, playing music. It was a pretty cool scene. I really I enjoyed it. It was fun. I like Detroit. I've only been there for two giant events that were happening that might have changed a bit of the scene for me. But we talked to locals about it. They said in the old days nobody would go downtown for anything, but that's changed and. There's some great restaurants and bars, and there's lots of life, man. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Well, I had fun when I was there. I like Michigan.
Yeah. Glenn and I went for Billy Joel. Can I tell him the story about what happened with us?
It's not a secret.
We did a lot of drinking. We did a lot of prepping, like pre-gaming for Billy Joel. And then we took like a little bus, a little trolley or something to get down to the main area, and we ran around and had a burger and did a few more things. And then Billy Joel was playing at it's Tiger Stadium. I don't even know what the name of it is, but that's the spot.
Comerica Park at some point. I don't know if it's still called that.
Right. Right. Beautiful. It was beautiful weather. It's outdoors, whatever. And you get to sing some of the favorite songs of your life with 45,000 of your new friends or whatever it is. It was so fun. So then we're in Detroit and we're drunk and we're running around. We drink some more and we go to Pegasus. There's like Greek Town. If you don't know the area, it's a very famous strip of just a bunch of Greek restaurants and scene, and casinos have been added since. And it's got a lot of life down there. Went down there and stuffed our faces with Greek food. Then we're wandering around and we're two white guys there on Billy Joel night. And you could see some of the bars, like you would peek in and you're like, yeah, we'd go in there and have a pint and fit in nicely. And some of the bars you look in, you go, oh, we might hear a record scratch if we walked into that one. Like it was kind of surprising that there was that much of a, I don't know. It was surprising to me. There's cultural pockets around Detroit. And so we walked by a black strip club. I've never been to a black strip club, and I was excited by the idea. And Glenn and I had a little meeting, and we're like, all right, if it's $20 or less, we're going in. When are we going to be in Detroit? When are we going to be drunk in a place with a black strip club, you know? And we go to the door guy, And we go, what's the cover? He goes, no cover. We're like, yay. And he goes, I just need to see your IDs. And we reach in and Glenn does not have his ID.
I left it with the counter at the hotel, all the exchanging that we had been doing. And I had managed to leave the hotel without the ID.
And the hotel's nowhere fucking close to where we are. And yeah,
we lost him. We lost a chance.
I'll never forgive you for that.
Well, we got to make it up someday. I'd like to see you this summer sometime.
Yes, let's do that. It's not like the Midwest is dotted with black strip clubs. How are we going to? I don't think I've been to a strip club in 10 years. Is that possible?
Yeah, it's not as much of a cultural thing as it was when we were in our early 20s, I don't believe.
Well, when we were kids, we had to go because we had the crazy Tampa situation. Even if you didn't, even if you didn't like strip, you had to go to that.
When are you coming to see me? I live in Sarasota now.
It's not now. Now it's not quite as, again, some of you have heard a version of this story, but way back in the day, I went to USF in Tampa for a year and my friends would come down to visit me from Athens. It was like a 7-hour drive. It wasn't even a big thing. It's Florida. It's nicer. There's adventures to be had. And at the time, the city was in a battle with the strip club universe. And of course, the city doesn't have the balls to say, we don't think you have the right to see naked people for money. What they say is the combination of nudity and alcohol is dangerous to the community. So they try to kill the strip clubs by stripping them of their rights to sell booze. So that a couple of the big strip clubs in Tampa at the time had no alcohol sales, which meant that you could go into them when you're 18 and not 21. And we were, of course, all in the 18 to 21 range. So we couldn't even get into a bar, but we could go into a place where they show you naked women.
That's the only place they could be totally naked too, right? Wasn't it?
There, I think so. Yes. And it wasn't subtle. It was Tampa and it was gritty and not subtle. Yeah.
Tampa has got some stank on it. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it still does. It always has. It's like it's a funny mix of Alabama and Florida. It's a weird mix.
On a pirate ship.
Yep.
Arrgh.
That's exactly right.
Sarasota is a different vibe, I'll tell you. It is not Tampa. And St. Pete is way better than Tampa.
Oh, really? How so?
St. Pete is my absolute favorite Florida city. The coolest city in Florida, hands down.
And you know Florida. You spent some Florida time.
I've traveled it a lot now.
Now, it definitely has some of the best beaches in America, for sure.
We were on Siesta Key last Friday evening. And that quartz sand that they have out there, it is like a pillow. It's crazy. It's beautiful.
Right. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, that the west coast of Florida doesn't get enough love. It's really beautiful. The
top part is far too close to Alabama. I mean, it's a problem it shares with all of northern Florida. It is not South Florida there.
Right.
Jacksonville is way below St. Petersburg.
Yeah. But all the glory seems to go to the Miamis of the. There's a couple of like the big cities that get all the buzz, but the beautiful sand is actually on the other side.
Yeah, the beaches are a ton better on the Gulf.
And when you're looking for sun meets horizon, dinner time is way more fun than 6 in the morning.
Yeah, screw the sunrise side. I have no use for that. I've never seen that.
Right. All right.
Let's talk about my Penix.
Yep. How do you feel about your Penix?
I'm confused by it as usual. I mean, how many times can how many different guys on TV can say this is nothing against Michael Penix's talent?
Right, right. Yeah.
That's right. Quarterback.
Yeah.
But
yep.
The Falcons are crazy.
He would have
been there in the second round, I think. I don't think anybody else was coming after him.
The post draft buzz is that he wouldn't have been, but you know, I don't know. I like the premise of very high ceiling, good character guy, right? That's who he is. And I liked him in the pre-draft situation. I feel like if he can stave off the injury bug, he has maybe the highest ceiling that isn't Caleb. I don't know. His passes are fucking beautiful sometimes.
He plays in the Pac-12. Pac-12 defense.
Fair.
It is no comparison. Didn't he play Indiana or somewhere that he's played? I mean,
I did think that so many times in watching the clips of the people there who are being drafted. I'm like, yeah, that was a good move, but what team is he playing? Like, I had to like wince and lean in. Like, who are they playing right now?
Beautiful. I love his mobility. I love the running throws. They look great. He looks great. Yeah. They want a new Michael Vick. They've always wanted a Michael Vick. We didn't get Deshaun Watson. We didn't get Lamar Jackson. And so.
Is it to make up to the fan base of the whitey whitest quarterback in the history of the universe?
Of the blacky blackest city in the country.
Yeah.
Arthur would love to have a Super Bowl black quarterback.
But I'm as a fan, like, I'm done with the waiting. I don't want to wait to win in 4 years. I want to win now.
What about saying 4 or 5? He might sit 4 or 5 years. How are you, Michael Penix, sitting there listening to that? He's 24 years old already.
First of all, that's ridiculous. That's somebody who doesn't understand how NFL contracts work. The Cousins trade, the Cousins signing is a 2-year deal. You can't really get out of it in less than 2. And then after 2, you can get completely out of it. So they gave him $100 million for 2 years. So best case scenario, Cousins plays great, but ages, and Penix shows to be amazing. And then that's where you cut the rope on the Cousins chapter and you move on. So I guess if that's what you think is going to happen, okay. And the other angle is he does have a serious injury. He hasn't played a game since. What if he's not really ready at the beginning of the season, or if he had some catastrophic re-tearing or something?
Snaps again, yeah. I mean, right. I think that there's a much better chance of snapping again than snapping the first time.
Right, but all of the rest of me is like, what the fuck are you doing, you crazy lunatics? The whole reason you spend all the money on the guy is so that you're set there and you can spend all the other capital on the other guys. Get an edge rusher. Get a really good defense. Let's win this year. The division is terrible. You should try to win right now.
There's no evidence he is an NFL caliber quarterback right now. And I mean.
You mean Penix?
I do. And, yeah. Okay. And I'm thinking if Cousins is successful, you're not going to want to replace him in 3 years.
Right. That's the other thing. If Cousins is great, keep him for 4.
We go to the Super Bowl and Michael Penix gets traded.
Right. That's right. That's right. And then you bring in a Heinicke level dude again. Right. Or you do you flip it. You have some good or bad years with Cousins, and then you go to Penix and you release an expensive guy.
If you were betting on it, I would be saying sub 500 this first year.
Penix or Cousins?
No, Cousins coming in. I don't think we're going to make the playoffs this year just because we got Cousins.
No, I think we do. We have 6 games against the terrible division that we're in. We could beat all those teams, at least more often than not.
We did nothing for our defense in the draft, so.
That's the reason that we all were shrugging. Like, we could finally spend all this capital on defense, and we didn't. So.
I mean, at least there wasn't like a super superstar out there this year. I mean, we didn't miss out on somebody great that we, you know, like the Mario Williams, Jadeveon Clowney kind of.
That's true. Right.
Kong Su coming out. You know, there was nobody like that I needed.
Right.
But
I agree. But it does
good on defense in the first round.
It's Jordan Love. I blame Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Right now, it looks like the Jordan Love move was a good choice.
Maybe. Right now, yeah.
Depends how you define it. It did chase Aaron Rodgers out of town, make him mad and create a – I mean, presumably you don't have that with Cousins because he's the nicest ego-free person who has ever had this job, and he'll probably come to the podium next week and go, look, I'm a big boy. I understand how this works, and I'm happy to have him here. He'll say all the right things and put his head down and work his ass off.
He's a good Christian man. He's going
to cause trouble. But – It does throw a wrench into the good vibes that we had going with Cousins a little bit, I think.
It's true. I mean, and, I don't think you can deny it.
And you didn't spend that capital on defense, which is what I wanted to do. Or Rome Odunze, if you're going to go offense, pick somebody who can help Cousins now. I want to win now. I'm tired of waiting.
Well, all right. I didn't need to see another first-round wide receiver. I would have much rather seen a first-round cornerback or an edge rusher in the first
round. Yes, of course. Me too. I'm just saying if you're trying to –
That's the thing about Penix is he should have been an edge rusher, the eighth best player in the draft and the best coming off the edge at sacking somebody.
Right.
Because if you're not sacking nobody ever, you're not winning.
I agree. All right, let's do some of our fun segments. It's a little chalky, but I'm giving my kudos to the Chicago Bears. They had the foresight to trade away the pick last year. They got the first overall pick.
That was a hell of a trade by them and an absolute joke for the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, so brutal.
It's like that's like the Herschel Walker trade.
Yeah, it's up there. I keep seeing it. I just saw a picture of it. We saw a guy last year at the draft wearing a Panthers Stroud jersey.
Wow. Yeah, that's cold.
and the line the guy wrote was, I still think about this guy. I hope he's okay somewhere. Because Stroud was so good, it makes that pick look even worse. So the Bears had that right. And they've made so many decisions that are good for their draft capital situation and their financial footing. And then they picked Rome Odunze, and they brought Keenan Allen in there. They really set up their quarterback for a good situation. They got this big offensive lineman in the third round from Yale. That's where you go to get your big boys, you know. So I think it's fun to have a good Bears team. I think will be good. You know, it might not be right now, but it's coming.
They're easy to root for. I mean, I'm shamed of them for what they did with Justin Fields.
Yeah, I feel bad for Justin.
Yeah, I bet he's going to get one, though.
Oh, man, I hope it works out for him, too. And even Russell Wilson, who I don't really like personally, I feel bad for the situation. I mean, he's a good enough quarterback to be playing on that team that just, like, booted him away and flushed $80 million down the garbage. What a crazy choice.
After the Matt Ryan fiasco, I mean, how can we even talk about it?
So, I don't know. I didn't prep you for this. Do you got a taps?
I'm going to just go out there and say the top drafted Bulldog. I wish the best to Brock Bowers. He's the taps on the back for three amazing seasons at the University of Georgia that were very appreciated by Bulldog Nation. We are really going to miss him and Ladd McConkey.
Yeah, Ladd got a great landing spot. He's going to be the number one receiver for the Chargers, probably.
They'll let him return kicks, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Brock had a good run. I got my national championship hat on here.
Go Dogs.
Yeah, Brock had two national championships in his 3 years. That's a pretty good run.
Pretty good.
And he was the number one receiver on teams with NFL talented wide receivers. You know what I mean?
So I do. I know it well.
He was on a team where like any of the other tight ends would have been, you know, the best tight end that a team has seen in a long time, you know? Yep. And he stood out above those guys. So
I feel sorry for him. I don't think the Raiders is where he's going to be his best. I mean, go to a team that is. I mean, they had Waller, right? I mean, but that he was under the radar when he was the top.
Yeah, I think Waller's gone. But they had they drafted the other kid, Meyer, last year. So it was a bit of a. And they don't have a premier quarterback right now. So his gigantic star status might have to wait a little bit, but.
Gonna be Kyle Pitts Jr.
Don't knock that out of your mouth. Don't put that on that man. That's funny. Yeah, it could be. Lots of buzz and then not a very good landing spot. Although nobody thought the landing spot was particularly good for Sam Laporta last year, and he was amazing. So yeah. We'll see. He's definitely got more skills than Sam Laporta. I don't know. We'll see how they use him. All right.
I hope they're not looking for him to be Gronk. I mean, you know, I figure Vegas wants him to be some kind of personality, but he ain't even got a personality.
No, he's a relatively quiet kid, right?
So yeah. He'll go out there and take care of business.
Like anything. Andreas and I overheard a couple of comments about Caleb Williams and his pink fingernails, and the outfit that he picked for the draft was a little like, does he not know he's going to a very blue collar city? Like, just dampen it down a little. But if he wins, no one will care. He'll just be enigmatic and great. If he loses, they're going to start mentioning some of these things in ways that aren't so polite.
He doesn't look like Jim McMahon. There's something about him that just doesn't look like Jim McMahon.
Phone case is pink too. This is troubling to the masses. All right. Let's do this.
But now it's time for which comes first. Oh, yes, it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens? It's time for which comes first.
All right, Glenn.
You didn't do your kudos, by the way.
I did. That's the Bears. The Bears.
Oh, the Bears.
You don't remember nothing about nothing.
All right.
I looked up their third round pick, an offensive lineman from Yale.
Right.
And their fourth round pick, curiously, was a punter, which, all right.
All right, go ahead.
Which comes first, Glenn? A start by Michael Penix or the Patriots' elimination from playoff contention?
Wait, let me do some calculations. I don't think Penix is starting this year, but I also don't think the Patriots are going to the playoffs this year.
Oh, okay. So week 12?
Let's say when the first team's eliminated from contention.
Yeah, it's about week 12 or so.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
All right. We can just throw that in to celebrate. Well, Penix might start the first game or something if we got some Achilles issues. You never know.
I liked your open bar at the combine idea.
Yeah.
I really think about that. You know, that they just – anybody that wants the right to drink and party has got to drink and party with, you know, on the clock.
Yeah. Yeah, you got this is a way more important life skill than the 40.
We're putting a camera on you, seeing how you do. You punch one girl, you're out.
No punching the girls at the combine. That's not good. That hurts your draft status.
He only punched three girls that whole time in Indianapolis.
You had 1 month to not fuck up, you idiot. Oh, those kind of mistakes make me so angry. You have a posse of like seven dudes. Make one of them drive. What are you doing? Call Uber.
Yes, there's so many choices.
It's not even a mistake that even makes sense in a modern world. Just fucking walk home. Have your party at your house. Stop going out for a little while.
Install the stripper pole with the bonus money.
Yes, right. Whatever. Ugh, annoying. Yeah. All right. Let's do this.
All right, kids, put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
All right, you might think I've got my Georgia Bulldog red on, but you'd be mistaken.
It's random. It's the random shirt. Show the people.
Random.
He has a shirt that says random.
I have one because I inherited it from my friend Kostaki in college.
And a rooster.
He'd had it for years.
I had it for years. I kind of outgrew it. Physically, not emotionally.
Still going.
I'm happy that it's still being worn and enjoyed.
It was very well received in Key West. They loved the chicken.
All right. Now, you know, with these quizzes, I'm not trying to get you on anything, but you might actually.
For science.
You might actually know some of this. I just found this to be some interesting stuff I stumbled on today. This was the most quarterbacks ever taken in the first 12 picks of an NFL draft.
Quarter or corner?
Quarter.
Quarterbacks.
Six of them in the first 12 picks.
Okay.
Wow. There's only been one year ever that had six in the first round ever.
I remember the big one.
Yeah, go ahead.
1983?
That's correct. Can you name?
Todd Blackledge is one.
Todd Blackledge is one.
All right. Dan Marino's one.
Yes.
Jim Kelly?
Yes. You're killing it.
All right. You got to tell me if they had careers or not. I got those three is the best I can do without.
You got the year and three of the six. That's you already won the quiz. So
well, just tell me, did they have a big career or did they amount to nothing?
The other three, one of them had a gigantic career. So there were three giant names that came out.
Steve Young?
No. And the other two are relative no names.
83. You know, we barely... Marino beat us in the Sugar Bowl that year, Herschel's last year, when he came out.
Is that right? Why did yeah. Okay? He went. He was the last of the six. He went 27th overall.
All right, I can't think of anybody. Give me a team or something.
Here's a weird hint. He was the number one pick that year, and he's listed as being drafted by the Colts.
Is it Jeff George?
He didn't play for the Colts.
Okay. He insisted. Oh, Eli.
John Elway.
John Elway, yes. John
Elway. So, all right, so this is the order. Listen to this order. 1983 draft. First overall, John Elway, who pulled an Eli before it was an Eli and insisted that he not play for them and forced a trade. 7 overall, Todd Blackledge to the Chiefs. 14 overall, Jim Kelly to the Bills. Changed the franchise forever. John Elway, too, forever. 15th overall, right behind Jim Kelly, Tony Eason.
Tony Eason. I've never gotten that one.
Went to the Patriots. And then pick 24, Ken O'Brien was chosen by the Jets. And way down at 27, below Blackledge, Eason, and O'Brien, was Dan Marino to the Dolphins. That's quite a draft.
He didn't ever win a Super Bowl.
Oh, stop that. All right, part two of our quiz. USC passed Oklahoma this weekend with 6 first overall picks in the draft. Oklahoma had 5. Can you name any of the other 6 first overall USC picks?
First overall pick. They've had 6 first. So Caleb was the 6th.
Caleb was number 6 in 2024. 3 of these are actually possible that you could get, but their names.
I want to say Reggie Bush, but that's when Mario Williams got picked first and Reggie Bush went second to New Orleans, right?
That's correct. Reggie Bush, right. Not on this list.
I get a half a point for that.
Get a half a point for that.
All right. O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson is correct. 1969, woo! USC.
Go, O.J. On to the promised land.
I wouldn't have gotten that. That was blocked out of my mind.
All right. I'm thinking a wide receiver won it sometime. Did a wide receiver ever go?
Yes. It was very unusual for that to happen.
There's so many of these. I mean, Mike Williams?
Particularly big mouth wide receiver.
It's not Mike Williams.
No. 1996, a USC wide receiver went 1 overall. And after his career, had a very nice run in the, commentating world.
Can you tell me who drafted him?
I'm not sure that this is the team that drafted him, but I think of him as a Buccaneers player.
This is wide receiver or not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Buccaneers wide receiver. I'm completely blanking on it.
Maybe he went to the Jets and then was traded later.
Keyshawn.
That's correct.
He won the first overall pick.
He was the first overall pick.
By who?
Well, I don't know. I don't have that in front of me, but we could look that up.
I think it was the Jets.
I think of him as a Buccaneer, but he might have been somewhere else first.
He was definitely a Jet for a while. He had the Wayne Corbett and everything.
Yes, that's maybe why. I don't know the chronology.
Give me the damn ball.
Yeah.
First overall pick. That blows my mind.
That doesn't really happen anymore. That's almost unheard of.
Probably not after him.
Yeah. He screwed it up for everybody. All right, I'm pulling it up here. He played college football for USC and was selected first overall by the New York Jets. There you go. 1996 NFL draft. He also played for the Buccaneers, Cowboys, and Panthers.
All right. Are there other USC Trojans I might be able to guess?
There's one left that you could get.
And give me a decade.
It was 2003. It's been a while since they've had one.
Matt Leiner.
No, but good guess.
Carson Palmer.
Yes. You've done very well, my friend.
All right. Send my prizes.
You are a winner. All right. Just to give you the rundown. In 1968, Ron Yeary.
Yeah.
Offensive lineman for the Vikings. He's in the Hall of Fame. He was in the Pro Bowl like every year.
Yeah.
69, O.J. Simpson. 77, Ricky Bell.
Ricky Bell. There's a Buccaneer.
Running back, Buccaneers and Chargers. 96, Keyshawn. 03, Palmer. Carson Palmer. And then just now, Caleb Williams. Pretty cool. They passed Oklahoma, who had both Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, like in a 2-year period.
I'll take the opportunity to say F both of them. I mean,
yeah, I understand.
I don't wish them any success whatsoever.
And curiously, they also had Caleb Williams earlier. But they don't really get credit for him going to the NFL now. They kind of got screwed on that deal. They also had Jalen Hurts and Spencer Rattler, among other highlights.
Spencer Rattler.
Who was the most ballyhooed high school quarterback ever. And now he's a Saint. You can hate him too.
Yeah, I'm down with that. Gamecocks, though. Xavier Leggett.
Yeah, you like that kid?
Have you heard him talk?
No, I just saw his size. He's like a big DK Metcalf.
Can I show it off my phone?
Try it. Might be terrible sound. Did you see the Keon Coleman interview with the Bills, the Florida State kid?
No, I haven't seen. Yes, I did. With the snacks?
Yes, with the snacks and the other thing where he's talking about how he and his mom shop for coats in the summer. He didn't know he was on mic. He was just like casually talking to one of the reporters.
All right, let's see if this works. Right.
On the road, it'll be a little easier for my family to come watch me play, so that'll be great.
You woke up a Carolina Panther this morning. Did you have to pinch yourself a little bit?
Oh, no, man. I woke up really late. I got a call right after I got jealous. He was coming to pick me up at 9:30 in the morning. I told him I'm going to be ready. Man, I'm going to be easier for my family to come watch me play, so that'll be great.
You woke up a Carolina Panther this morning.
That'll be great.
That is kind of fun that you're the home team guy. He's a big boy, too. Goodness gracious. He's the one with the weirdest production profile ever. All the fantasy nerds follow this kind of stuff. Generally, if players don't break out before year three, they don't do well in the long run. You want a kid who's like a star immediately. Like when Brock Bowers started playing, he was immediately great, even against NFL talented competition. So you want a breakout year that's early. His breakout year was year five, which has never happened in the history of anybody paying attention to this kind of thing. Like if you break out in year three, it's kind of like a bad sign. Almost nobody breaks out in year four. This kid had less than like 200 yards for 4 years total. And then last year had 1,010 touchdowns or something.
He's the Spencer Rattler effect.
He is the weirdest, production ever. So we'll see what happens. He's a big kid. We'll see. I hope he's good.
Well, he's got the voice of a superstar. If
Jelly Legs was coming to get him. Is that what he said?
No, I'm going by the better.
All right. I think we did everything we came here to do.
I'm trying to think. I think that was all I came with.
Are you promoting anything? Is there anything we need to tell the people you're up to?
No, I'm opening for Kostaki sometime in July. We haven't decided yet.
Oh, that's right. We do need to talk about
those dates. And,
all right.
Do you make any for sure dates in July?
I've got one in Cincinnati, and I got a couple question marks and a whole bunch of hope twos. We'll see.
Okay, we can get Baxter there too, probably, if we play our cards right.
Let's do it. I'd
love to see you in Hollywood, though.
Come on. I'm here.
I'm in Boise on July 20th. So before that, I'm available.
I think that's when I'm in Cincy. I'll have to look this up. We'll discuss.
We'll talk later.
Don't forget to follow me on Facebook and All Pro Lines on Facebook. And I'll see you next week, Nebraska. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, prayers for Nebraska too, man. You seen them tornadoes?
Yes. I did see the other side postal truck. Right? Yes, on a tree or whatever. Yeah.
Thoughts go out to them.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Where's the music? Here it is.